David was a man after God's own heart, and he served the purpose of God in his own generation. Join Reverend I.T. Matura as he does a study of the life of David and teach practical biblical lessons. Get ready to be empowered and equipped by the Word of God.
Greetings, saints. You have done well to connect to our study of the life of David. Today we move on to lesson 3 of chapter number 5. Last week we were looking at lesson 2, and we're looking at the relationship between David and Abner. Abner, who was the commander of the armies of Israel under Saul, and continued to do so during the time that he took the son of Saul, Ishbosheth, and made him king over Israel. That was to delay the destiny of David, who then became king over Judah. But Abner and Ishbosheth, as we learned last week, came into a disagreement when Abner took a concubine that used to be Saul's concubine, and Ishbosheth was not happy about this. He corrects him and rebukes him, but he takes correction not in a good way, and he's angry, and he then threatens to take the kingdom away and give it to David. So he begins to negotiate with David to hand over the kingdom to him, which David he receives after negotiating back his wife Michaela. And when that is done, he visits David. But when Joab hears that Abner came in peace, he was not happy, because Joab still held a grudge against Abner, bitterness that his brother had been killed by Abner. So Joab took matters into his own hands, and he murdered Abner, and it angered David. He cried and wept for Abner, and this was a sign to Israel to show the heart of David, that it was not him, or it was not him who had instructed the death of Abner. So he further showed what kind of a heart he had, which was sincere and which was true. So that is where we ended last week. We are continuing today as we now go to lesson number 3, the death of Ishbosheth and David's reaction. And we are looking at 2 Samuel chapter 4. It is a short chapter, so it's going to be a short session today, but I believe it's a powerful, there are powerful lessons that we can draw. So get your Bible, get your notebook. Let's get into the Word of God as we learn from the scriptures today. Right, I'm going to do an overview, then split it into 3 sections and do lastly 5 lessons we draw from this chapter. Now, from verse 1 to 4, here we see the message of Abner's death reaching to the king of Israel, Ishbosheth. And when he hears about it, it affects him. It causes him to shake. Verse 1 says, when Saul's son heard that Abner was dead in Hebron, his hands were feeble, and all the Israelites were troubled. So when he heard it, because he depended on Abner, the army commander, it is him that had secured his throne. So when he hears that this man is dead, he begins to shiver. The following verses tell us about two guys who were captains of army bands that also hear about the death of Abner, but they had a different agenda that we'll see later on. In verse number 4, we see a story that is then told of what happened when Saul died in battle together with Jonathan. We are then told about Jonathan's son. In verse 4, it says, and Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame in his feet. So we are then told of this son that was lame. But well, how did he become lame? He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. It came to pass as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. Oh, what a story. And what a sad story, that the day that his grandfather died and his father died is the day he also became lame. Because it was at this time, at the death of these two, that in panic, the nurse to Mephibosheth was fleeing, and in fleeing, he dropped the baby, and the baby became lame. And this is Mephibosheth. He was lame not because of his own mistakes or anything he had done wrong, He was lame because of circumstances that were out of his control. He was dropped by his nurse, and that was the story of his life. But the ending of his story, as we'll see later, does not end as a story of a person who is lame or who is crippled, because the favor of God in the end is able to locate him. But here we're given a narration of what took place, that which caused him to be lame and where he was. And many times we find people, and sometimes even you that is listening to me, you have certain circumstances that are not of your own making, but that have caused you to be lame in certain areas. But I want you to know that the grace of God and the favor of God can override all those mistakes that were done, and all those mistakes that have injured or harmed you on your journey of destiny, in the name of Jesus. Section B, we look at 2 Samuel 4, verse 5 to 7. Here we see Ishbosheth being assassinated. Now, we are told of the sons of Rimmon, Rechab, and Baana. The Bible says they went and came about the heat of the day to the house of Ishbosheth, who lay on a bed at noon. Verse 6 says, and they came thither into the midst of the house as though they would have fetched wheat. They smote him under the fifth rib, and Rechab and Baana, his brother, escaped. So here are two guys who take advantage that there is chaos. Abner has died, the army commander. There is chaos in the nation. People are shaken. And these guys take it upon themselves to go and murder the king while he's sleeping in his bed. What wicked men these were. And you see that here, they assassinated the one that was sitting on the throne, and they spilled innocent blood. Now, section C, verse 8 to 12, these two guys then take this news to David to tell him that they have killed the king Ishbosheth. And what they do is they cut off the head of Ishbosheth and they take it to Hebron to David as a gift. Verse 8 says, they brought the head of Ishbosheth unto David to Hebron and said to the king, behold the head of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, thy enemy, which sought thy life, and the Lord has avenged thy lord the king this day of Saul and of his seed. So these guys thought to take it upon themselves to fast check things and kill Ishbosheth in the name of making David the king. And they say, your enemy, the Lord has avenged. Look at how they are trying to justify what they have done in bringing in the name of the Lord. And many people do that. They do certain things and they try to bring in God into the picture to try and bring legitimacy. God was not in this thing, and they were trying to bring God into it. And David did not buy it for a moment. Verse 10 says, when one told me, saying, this is David now replying. So he says, he's now telling them of a story. I don't know why these guys did not remember that there was another guy who had come with the news of the death of Saul, and that he had been responsible, expecting to be rewarded. And David reminds them of that story. He says, when one told me, saying, behold, Saul is dead, thinking to have brought good tidings, I took hold of him and slew him in Ziklag, who thought that I would give him a reward for his tidings. So he then tells these guys, there was one like you before. And when he brought such kind of news, thinking that it was good news, I took him and I slew him. He was expecting a reward. These guys were expecting a reward. Maybe they were thinking they'll be made generals or captains or commanders in David's army for killing the king. But David was furious. He says, one like you, I ended up slaying him because of what he has done. How much more you guys who have killed a man in his own house, on his bed, you wicked man. And he instructs his young men to deal with these two guys, and they were slain that day. And he says, may the blood be upon your own head, because you have slain a man in his own house. So this was the ending of their story, and in verse 12 the chapter ends. Now there are lessons that we draw from this chapter, and powerful lessons, even though it's a short chapter, but they are powerful lessons that we get here. Lesson number one, let not your leadership depend on men, but on God. When you are leading, let your leadership depend on God and not man. Because man is flesh. Man will die. When you depend on a human arm, you will be disappointed. Now here is Ishbosheth. His reliance was on Abner, the army commander. When he hears that Abner is dead, the Bible says his hands became feeble. He lost power because his power was dependent on a human being. Never make that mistake. Trust in God. The Bible says some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we shall trust in the name of the Lord. Let whatever you do, leadership in ministry, leadership in business, leadership in the home, let your leadership be secured in God and founded in God. Don't depend on a human being, because a human being who died as Abner died and Ishbosheth was left exposed. So may your faith and trust be in God, not in the arm of the flesh. Lesson number two, don't allow the spirit of fear to dominate your life. You see here, Ishbosheth, the Bible says his hands became feeble. It was the spirit of fear. Once he heard that the army commander is dead, fear caught up with him. And that spirit of fear, I would believe that it also attracted the demons that entered into the guys who came to assassinate him. So it's very important that as a believer, as a leader, you must resist the spirit of fear. The Bible says he has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. As a leader, you need to lead with faith, with power from the Holy Ghost, with love. The Bible says love casts away fear. Perfect love casts away fear. So don't allow the spirit of fear to dominate you. Once you are dominated by fear, you can no longer lead. You cannot move forward. You lose hope in life. And that is what happened to Ishbosheth. The moment fear got a hold of him, he lost hope. His hands were weak. He could no longer lead. May you be delivered from the spirit of fear in Jesus' mighty name. The third lesson is never use carnal ways to seek promotion. In this life, in whatever area of work, ministry you are doing, don't use carnal means to seek your way to the top. There are many people who try and use carnal means. One of the greatest shocks is to find someone trying to be promoted in church using juju or going to a sangoma to seek a position in church. What a shock. How do you use devil's weapons to secure a godly position? It will never work. These two guys here take it upon themselves to kill Ishbosheth, a king, in order to seek favor and promotion with David. Those are carnal ways, and they ended up perishing. Carnal ways will always lead to you perishing. The Bible says a carnal mind leads to death, but a spiritual mind leads to life. So never try and seek promotion using carnal ways. They will lead to your destruction. Mercy. Lesson number four, don't celebrate the fall of another leader, even if they oppose you. Now this we learn from David. When he hears the news of Ishbosheth, he doesn't celebrate. Instead, he deals with the man who killed the king. So don't be a leader who celebrates the fall of another leader, because maybe you are eyeing that position of that leader. Maybe you want to be the next manager. Maybe you want to be the next pastor. And you are eyeing that. So when the leader before you falls, you celebrate. When you do that, you shorten your reign in whatever area that you are going to lead or you are going to be king. So it's very important that when a leader falls, let's have the heart of David. That is compassion. A heart that is sincere. A heart that empathizes with fellow leaders and fellow believers. The last lesson, the fifth one, is be consistent in your decision making as a leader. When you are making decisions, learn to be consistent. We see here David is a consistent man. When Saul died, he was consistent in the way he handled the issue. When Abner died, he was also consistent. It is him who buried Abner. Now here is Ishbosheth, also murdered by these two wicked fellows. He was consistent and he killed these two guys and he buried the body of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul. So there was consistency, consistency in the right direction, consistency in good leadership, consistency in faithfulness. So as a leader, as a believer, you must be consistent in good decision making, that people know that if it's this situation, you are likely to react in this way, because they know that you are consistent to your conviction. David had the conviction that you don't touch the Lord's anointing. He called Saul the Lord's anointed. He called Abner the commander of the armies of God. He knew he was anointed. He knew even Isibosheth, the son of Saul, that the moment he came to the throne, he was the Lord anointed. So he knew that he had to be consistent in the way he handles issues to do with such kind of people. Be consistent in the way you deal with believers, the way you deal with leaders. Be consistent in your decision making. That will give you longevity in ministry and in leadership. That's why you see that David had longevity in his ministry and in his reign. We'll see in the chapters to come how this helped him and sustained him and secured him on the throne of Israel. Hallelujah. God bless you. Next week we continue, and we are now looking at chapter 6, David's reign over Israel from Jerusalem. Wow, I'm looking forward to that chapter, a powerful chapter. God keep you. God watch over you, give you revelation and understanding in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening and following the lesson on the study of the life of David. For more Bible lessons, follow Reverend I.T. Matura on his podcast at innocentmatura.podbean.com.